One other comment that I heard over and over again last week was, Tom, how good you were as MC. So you are now the MC for life for First Presbyterian Church. Now, I want you to think about the first time that you heard the story of Zacchaeus. Who's thinking of the kids' song? Anyone care to give it a... Yeah, I'm certainly not going to sing it for you. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Alice, they need some rehearsing. Now think about what you know about Zacchaeus. You probably have this image of a cute little man, right? Sitting in a sycamore tree, trying to see Jesus. But the truth is, Zacchaeus was no cute little man. Now, I thought long and hard about the best way to phrase what kind of a person Zacchaeus was. But there is no nice way to say it. In plain English, Zacchaeus was a dirtbag. And the people of Jericho hated him. And they had good reason to hate him. He wasn't a nice guy. They may have been afraid of him there in Jericho, but they certainly didn't respect him. I mean, how could you respect him? He was a greedy, self-centered little parasite who made his living off the sweat and blood of other people. And he was a rich man. He was a Jew who worked for the Romans and made a lot of money by being a big-shot tax collector. Being the big tax collector, which means he's kind of like the mafia boss, is really what he is. Now, in those days, your taxes were whatever the tax collector could squeeze out of you. But he was a traitor to his own people. He worked for the enemy, and he exploited his people. He was despised. He was a bad man, rotten to the core, a person that nobody else could love, a greedy, self-centered little tyrant who was beyond the love of God. I mean, what use could Zacchaeus be to anyone, especially God? Even he knew, I think, how unlovable and despicable he was. But he was rich. But then his life changed when Jesus came. And, well, actually, Jesus didn't invite him to dinner. Jesus actually invited himself to his house. How would you respond to a friend who said, Linda, I'm coming to your house for dinner tonight? It's a little presumptuous. But that act of kindness and being noticed by Jesus changed his life. It opened his heart, and right there, everything changed. It's the original Grinch story, right? Who's seen the Grinch cartoon with the little thing over the Grinch's heart that when his heart grows three or how many times larger? Three times? It bursts, right? That's the official party line on this story. It's a story of the conversion of a sinner. But it's that faithful to this story. Now, the past so many weeks, as we've been doing this through the Bible in a year, and I try with each book I read to keep the main overarching theme of that book in the front of my head as I read what takes place in that book, I've been thinking about my conclusions about the story of Zacchaeus, mostly because it's tried to be more deliberate in keeping my assumptions and my prejudices out of Scripture and let the words speak for themselves. For example, I know the kid's story tells us that Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but let me read that piece of the Zacchaeus story again. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. So who was short? Zacchaeus or Jesus? Now you wonder too, right? Because it says in the Greek, because he was short in stature. Did Zacchaeus have to climb a tree to see short Jesus? Or did short Zacchaeus have to climb a tree to see Jesus? You don't know, do you? The fact is, we bring our own assumptions to a lot of Scripture. I hope I didn't ruin the story and the song for you. But it colors the way we hear and interpret what we read. The Reverend Rob McCoy, a Methodist pastor in Illinois, so we'll forgive him two things, being from Illinois and being a Methodist. writes that most translations have a simple word in this Zacchaeus story that alters the meaning of the story. Now, after Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus says, in most translations, "I will give," at least newer translations. It's translated from the Greek as a future tense, "I will do this." It seems like more modern versions of the text have shaped the story the way we're comfortable hearing it. We want this to be about conversion. We want this story to be about how God's grace changed the heart of a terrible little tax-collecting sinner who needed a change of heart. And it's safer to see other people in the role of Zacchaeus and let us get those warm and fuzzy feelings about remembering that we're welcome at the table, even as Zacchaeus was. But here's the problem. Zacchaeus' declaration is in the present tense in Greek, a simple present tense. Instead of Zacchaeus changing his heart because of the grace Jesus grants him by dining with him, it reads more like he's defending himself against the crowd. What if it turns out that he's already been doing exactly what John the Baptist tells the tax collectors to do in the beginning of Luke's gospel? When the tax collectors come to be baptized by Luke or by John at the beginning of Luke's gospel, they say to John, "What do we need to do?" And John replies, "Collect only what you are due. Stop being greedy." It could very well be that Zacchaeus may have already been doing what John taught him to do. How we look at Zacchaeus tells us more about ourselves than it does about him. You see, if you remember the overarching theme of Luke, and we've been going through several parables, the 99 sheep, the 9 coins, or the 1 sheep and the 1 coin, depending on how you look at it, the prodigal son, they are all about not people who come to Christ, but how the rest of us treat and respond to those people. The focus of Zacchaeus' story is not on the heart of Zacchaeus. It's on the heart of the grumbling crowd. The focus is on you and me. Remember that Luke tells us that all who saw it began to grumble. Luke loves that word, grumble, mumble, mutter. It's on the Pharisees and the chief priests and their holier-than-thou attitude. It's on the crowd and their unwillingness to accept an already changed man. All of them, us included. Zacchaeus isn't confessing a change of heart to Jesus. He's defending his honor to the grumbling crowd that assumes he's not worth their time. Remember, I'll say it again, in Luke's gospel, which we've been reading from this year, the focus isn't on the dirty, rotten sinner who repents, but the dirty, rotten, petty, self-righteous person who cannot and will not join the party when they come to Jesus. The uncomfortable truth is, I think, that the story of Zacchaeus reveals more to us about our grumbling hearts than Zacchaeus' former life. See, it's easy to see Zacchaeus as some poor wretch who was saved by Jesus' compassion. What if he's someone who was excluded from society because of the assumptions that others continue to make about him, even after his conversion? But that's kind of how the game of life is played, isn't it? Who else do we refuse to see? Who else do we judge by their credentials and see as unworthy? How many times have we seen the grace of God and thought, "He doesn't deserve that," or "She certainly doesn't deserve that"? How often do we grumble without knowing the real story of someone's life? Zacchaeus wanted so desperately to see Jesus that he was willing to risk humiliation. Jim, kind of like you and me climbing a tree right now, that'd be kind of humiliating. He was willing to venture out into the crowd that still rejected him. But it wasn't Zacchaeus who saw. he was finally seen. He was seen by Jesus, and he was seen by that crowd who hated him on public display in a tree, which isn't very dignified or respectful. And that's what Zacchaeus was willing to risk. He was seen by the unforgiving crowd. He was seen by those who would do their best not to see him. Whether they liked it or not, he was in their face. What if Zacchaeus climbed that tree to see this amazing man who had already forgiven him and set him free? What if Jesus' purpose in dining with Zacchaeus was to convert the crowd and not Zacchaeus? What if Jesus' intent was to show the crowds that this wonderful, maybe short, maybe not, little guy was already living the life of forgiveness in the Spirit, already giving away half of what he had? I give away. What if it is the present tense? I give away, Jesus, all or 50% of what I have, and I take care of those who I have defrauded. Not I will give and will take care of. What if Zacchaeus climbed that tree to say to the crowd, look at me, not through me. Look at me and see me for who I am. Just one more beloved and forgiven and blessed child of God, just like you are. And what if Jesus wanted that crowd to offer to Zacchaeus the same mercy and grace that God had already offered to him? Would you come to the table for that? Would you join hearts and hands with the saints of God to celebrate yet one more place taken at the table? Or, like at Thanksgiving with the kids' table, are you still sitting at the Pharisee table? Maybe in the end, that's all any of us really need or want, to be seen. Not as a job title or a resume, not as a role to fill or a caricature of what others think we are, simply to be seen as someone who is made in the image of God, to be seen simply as someone who fails and wins, who cries and laughs, who's lost and who has loved, who is nothing more or less than human, just like you and me. Maybe in the end, that's all any of us needs and wants, to be seen by Jesus, even as we risk humiliation and scorn, and be invited to come to the feast. Because there is already a place card here with your name on it, and it's an RSVP regrets only party. Zacchaeus was willing to risk going out literally on a limb to be seen. What are you willing to risk? So come to the table and to be seen as one more forgiven child of God. Amen.